Don't touch that dial. You're tuned in to the Dread Podcast Network.
It's Jazz, the 40 ounce connoisseur.
And it's Cat Daddy, and I am an airplane.
Okay, and we are Girl That's Scary. And we're here to talk to y'all about the Fear Street trilogy. So many people have asked about this. And you know
The dread in your voice.
Okay, I don't have dread, and I did like it, sort of. But I don't foresee me watching this again.
I actually like this series.
It was cool, but, you know, it was long, and
It was definitely long. I will give you that.
Like, it wasn't bad. Like I said, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't, like, my kind of bag now, but I also feel like if I would have watched this at, like, in college, might have liked it a pinch more, or maybe in high school, would have probably loved it. I'm just at 30. I'm like, I'm recognizing the character interactions. I'm like, y'all are terrible fucking people. And I just keep going through the thing like, God, y'all are awful. Oh, I want you to die. Ooh, I want you to die too. So I'm just like, you know, a younger person like, oh, they're flawed, but it's okay. And I'm like, nah, fuck that shit. They gotta go.
Yeah, the characters are just, you know, keep them in your thoughts. That's truly how I feel. But they're like, you know, younger people who are making shaky younger people decisions on top of the fact that, you know, their town is cursed.
Yeah, so it makes sense. Their town is cursed. They're dealing with a lot. And of course, they're young, shaky people.
That is cursed.
It's cursed. But it wasn't a bad time. I think you should check it out, especially if you're into that Goosebumps RL style life. If you like bloody, well, they don't have this. It's like, it would, if PG didn't involve gore, and you could have gore in PG, you just couldn't be fucking and doing drugs. Like, this would be a PG-13, like, horror movie if.
I get.
Well, no, when it's fucking in there and drugs.
No, there's a lot going on.
It's rated R, but it's rated R for the teens and early 20s.
And you know what? I know a lot of people. Okay, great. Okay.
I like that for them. Okay. It's just like I said, I'm just, because I watched it, especially after watching it the second time, I'm like, Jesus Christ, the characters really, ooh, make my butt itch. I don't like that.
Wait a minute.
Nope, they make me itch.
Wait.
Nope. I don't like that at all. Really upsetting.
I'm screaming.
Itching all over. No,
you know
thanks.
What? I fear you. Like I said, I really enjoyed all three of these movies. I know a lot of people were just like, this ain't for me, dog. And you know what? I get it. I feel like if this was, like you said, I agree with you, if this was like someone in their early 20s or late teens. Oh, yeah, like, this is...
Because you would champion the petty.
Exactly. And I am also a person who likes, you know, Vampire Diaries and the originals and shit like that and other fun shows that possibly come on the CW that deal with, like, Archie comic characters and even Sabrina. So, you know, I'm one of those. So, hey, girl, this is me, too. I'm pulling all the way the fuck up. And because I love Goosebumps, because of the nostalgia associated with R.L. Stine and all of his works, and even though he didn't direct this, is essentially based off of his works, I'm gonna check it out. Fuck it, YOLO. And I had a good time. Like, it paid homage to all kinds of stuff. You got your supernatural stuff, you got people getting possessed, you had fucking demonology, you had the devil's work, you had your slasher. It was just yes, yes, and yes. Did it give you cheese? Yes. Was it super on the nose at times? Yes. But you know what? Fuck it, man. I'm here.
I mean, yeah. And there's plenty of other movies that I love that make the mistake of being a pinch too cheesy.
Whatever,
being
dog.
A pinch too on the nose. But, you know, that wasn't the problem I had. I liked a little bit of the cheese. The on the nose, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I liked the camp and the callbacks. And, you know, the music was a lot, but I enjoyed the songs they played. Because let me tell y'all something. Carry On My Wayward Son is one of my favorite fucking songs.
I just be shaking on my show. I'm in Rock Band.
Okay, okay. I do miss playing Rock Band. That was a good time. Also, Supernatural, you know, turned that song up for me.
Yeah, so, I'm having such a good time.
Yes. Like I said, it was the really horrible characters. Their acting wasn't even terrible. The characters are just really, really bad.
You know what I did like? I like how they were in, like, they played multiple roles. Like, whether they were present day characters or in the past. Like, there was a lot of interchangeable of, like, different type of people in different scenes and shit. And I was like, oh, yes, I like this. Especially as you progress from, like, part one takes place in 1994, part two takes place in 1978, and then part three takes place in 1666. I definitely agree with you about the movies being a tad bit too long. Like, they're damn near 2 hours long. Like, they're, like, fucking 145 or 150 minutes.
Yeah, they're definitely...
That's a long time. That's a long time. Do I feel overwhelmed with the information as I'm taking it in? No. I can understand how some people might be, or they lose interest, and they're like, girl, it's a whole bunch of shit happening, because guess what? There was a whole bunch of shit happening.
Yeah. I just, the math was going across my face like Tyrese.
Oh, shit.
When you said 144 minutes, I was like, wait a minute, that's like 2 hours and some change. There are like Hold an on. Hour and 40 something.
You know, you don't talk about, that's okay, we got, I, you
Bro,
know,
the numbers
I am the Tyrese math bitch. You want to know what version of Tyrese I am? I know
a version of Tyrese. You are the my way version of Tyrese, dancing with a denim vest on.
Ooh, with the LeBray, bitch. Ooh, I can't wait till I get a LeBray.
Why do you want a LeBray so fucking
because
bad?
Because I just feel like I'm a morph into the ultimate bad bitch with a LeBray. All the bad bitches got LeBrays.
Tyrese! Sorry, guys. I'm not sorry. Nope, I'm not taking that back.
My way. Okay.
But yes, there is a meme of the numbers going across Tyrese's head.
You knew what kind of math I was doing.
I was like, huh? What? But I was like, damn, what movie's that long? I was like, oh, they long as a bitch. But,
ooh, child.
But anyway, before we get into the spoilers, it's sort of based off of, or also has something to do with it, but they're not really about the books, but it's fine. It's the idea of this kind
they're of... They're in the same universe.
Yeah, same universe. I'ma just let that be. I also didn't read the book, so I wouldn't have known what to expect. I read Goosebumps. So.
I read one of the Fear Street ones, but I can't really remember. I was more so of a Goosebumps kind of gal myself.
Yeah, I was into the
dramatics.
Say cheese or die.
Yes.
But,
One Day at Horland.
You know, it's the shady side, Sunnyvale, shady side, got a whole lot of problems, and Sunnyvale got no problems,
yeah.
And the killers is running around, and you trying to get to the bottom of why the fuck this curse is happening. And that's what the stories are, explaining the curse. It's a lot of people dying.
And they're very much rival towns. And when you find out, ultimately, in the end, with the overall story is, and the bigger problem is, you're like, god damn, this is crazy. But these towns are like very they're really like two different towns, distinctly different, you
but
know
same sheriff though, it's wild,
which, you know, but Sunnyvale is supposed to be where the rich folk are. This is the suburbs. This is real cute out here. They don't have no accidentes, they don't have no problems, everything is cool there, everyone is happy, their lawns are manicured. They're pretty much sure they probably would have had Trump signs. That is very much what Sunnyvale gave. And then Shadyside, that's where you got your, you know, it's a little shaky. You know, it's urban. You know, they have a lot of stuff going on. The people that definitely you ride from. People are coming from Sunnyvale to Shadyside to get drugs. Like, this is the kind of situation that's going on.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's where all the edgy people live. I just, y'all didn't see me, but my shoulders kind of popping locked when I said edgy.
Also,
but, yeah.
I don't know if you noticed, but we'll get into this later when we look at who lives in Shadyside versus Sunnyvale, because I saw a whole lot more people of color in Shadyside.
Listen, and Sunnyvale's where all the white folk live.
Yeah,
they got some people.
Yeah, they got some people there, but nah, every time they showed a whole bunch of extras or something for the other side, they always a whole bunch
I'm pretty sure that's on purpose.
I mean, yes. I'm like, man, damn.
But you know what? When we first started this movie, I was like, When it came out, I was like, you know, I'll watch it has something to do with racism. And you was like, Kathleen, please. And I was like, no, watch. And in the end, we was right.
Yes, just a little bit. Also, I feel like once we get to
Did
the end,
guess it?
How, because it's not directly racism, but it's more like, oh,
but y'all. But who are the people who are getting the short end of the stick? Well, look at us and then look at you. Then look back at us. Then look at you. I just.
You're right. It's a pinch of the.
And who's the one who's literally in control of all the bullshit the entire time?
Literally.
Look at them.
Look at you. Okay, so I also had something to say about, because I'm like, you know what, you write. It's a metaphor. But let's go
I see the koofy. I'm seeing the kente cloth slide on you, my brother.
And I got the laser eyes, bitch. I got both.
Pyramids come up in the background.
Listen, I am super hotel. I'm not really hotel in real life, guys. But
nah, somebody will set us on fire. They're going to be tired of us.
That's rude. Let me not talk about these people.
Anyways. So.
Fear Street Night Part 1, 1994. And boy, do they show you it's 1994. They are cramming in the songs. I have, you know, mall culture from the 90s.
I miss it.
I do too, bitch. I'm like, damn. If y'all, I know that there's not a whole bunch of people, maybe from Richmond per se, who might or live in the Virginia area, who remember Cloverfield Mall, or not Cloverfield. Wow, Cloverleaf Mall. Back at the Cloverleaf Mall, I got my name earrings from there. You know, they're making the name earrings. You know, they got a Foot Locker and shit.
You know, back in the backpack.
One of those places had a tree. I really? Remember a mall that had some kind of fucking tree in there. And, you know, I was a kid. I just thought tree was fucking fake. And I'm like, no, they grew the tree. It could still be fake. I'm not sure. But there was definitely a mall or two in Richmond that had the indoor trees. I wonder if it was Woolong. I don't remember. But they did have those. So I just felt nostalgic.
Back in the backpack, the super kawaii and cool malls like PG Plaza. I just told everybody just know where the fuck we at right now. PG Plaza was real cute. Like, it was way before Target was there, because the Target there now. And then we used to have, like, City Place. City Place used to be that fucking girl. You had the Rave in there. You had all the local shops, Rave. Bitch. This is before they had the Marshalls. This is before the movie theater was across the street. It had an AMC movie theater at the top. They used to have all kinds of celebrities and stuff used to come. You know how the celebrities and stuff be coming to the mall and stuff. Girl, it was so cute. It just makes me really miss basically 90s, 2000s DC. And I'm just sad in my heart every time.
Rave.
But this movie really, yeah, Rave. Come on.
I used to shop there, bitch. I'm like, wow.
And this is before LVLX started hitting the scene for real.
Remember when they had the jeans, right? And of course they were low rise. They were the jeans, low rise, and either boot cut or flare. But you know how you have the rips? It had the fringes, but the fringes were still attached. So it was a bunch of lines of fringes going down your pants. That was me.
I mean, for real, if you want to keep it cute, we ain't had no West Seal for real, because West Seal used to be up Georgetown. But then if you had to ever go to Georgetown to get to West Seal, because West Seal was like, you know, a little exclusive. Up. Right. Or you had to go out to Wheaton Mall. And if you was going out to Wheaton Mall, you was getting your pictures taken at Hollywood Shots. So you could have your photos with the little airbrush background. Yes. Come on, everybody with the airbrush background.
We need some photos with the airbrush background, bro.
I need somebody to set this up.
We gotta wear the same shirt.
Listen, I'm ready. I'm about to be,
I might even get square nails for that. I don't know.
Mall culture, clearly we miss it. It's feeling real nostalgic. This is what's going on. We basically open up, what is it? The girl is basically closing up shop at her job. It's her by herself. And it's one other guy. He works in like a Spencer's type situation. But then shit gets real shaky and it goes left. And it turns into basically, you know, a scene from like fucking Scream or fucking Chopping Mall. Like, bitch, what the fuck? It goes left. And
Big Scream.
Oh my gosh, I was so excited.
It turned up immediately, and I thought the bitch was toast, but she had a book.
Not
but
toast.
I thought the bitch was toast, but she is toast. And then it's another Shady Side murder. Shady Side always got some bullshit going on, bro. So, in Shady Side, you know, everybody's, you know, living the hard knock life. Mm-hmm. And they're seeing it on the news or whatever. But it was a student, or someone who used to be a student at the school. Like, I think the killer was an active student. Whatever. Yeah. They decided they're going to have a little vigil or whatever. That's what they had at. And you meet before they go to the vigil, but you meet the kids that are going to this school. You meet Dina and her brother Josh, and Josh is on the computer.
He love getting the computer. Putin.
Like, he is on the AOL.
AOL chat.
Listen. On there.
Before we progress even further, what was your AOL chat intro sound? Because you know what mine is, and I'm ready to cut the fuck up.
I didn't know how to change it, so I just had the little beep, Jake. You know I don't know how to computer, Kathleen. I didn't start using AOL chat until I was like 14.
Oh, mine was a pee popping.
Dude, I remember
so
that.
Every time I log in, it goes, don't. It sound like fucking Ludacris has started the Pussy Poppin' song. And that is right before, you know, AIM decided to, you know, decline and all kinds of other fun stuff.
It would be perfect for them to come back right now.
This is the time.
They can just have a chat. Well, no, actually, that's dangerous. People don't even be on the internet like that. That's cool. Never mind.
No.
That's it.
No. Isolation is not great. Fine.
We don't, because then it's anonymous people. No. They don't have any room. It's just a bunch of weird people on the chat line being weird. I think not. But
Josh was getting the computers pewed, and he was really, he has like a little, you know, e-friend he really likes to chop it up in the chats with. I was just hoping and praying watching this movie that it wasn't a grown adult that was in the chat rooms.
Because that would have fucking sucked. But Xena is going over a breakup. You see them putting some shit in the box. They're writing angry letters. And they going to school. They at school. They meeting up with their friends, Simon and Katie and them. And Katie's selling drugs, bitch. And, you know.
Okay, so let's talk about this. There's a scene in this movie. I know I'm skipping ahead a little bit.
That's okay.
And I know Kate got to get her Chacoin. You know, I get it. But a scene that really, you know, rubbed me the wrong way. Is that you see Kate, she kind of steps back. She has all the product on the table. And there's two little black girls sitting at the table. And I'm like, hold on, bitch. Did anybody think about how this looked before they hit send through the computer machine to put this in on Netflix?
Nope.
Nope,
bitch can't do it like me.
I can't stand you for that. But also at the same time, like, bitch, what am I looking at? I was a little upset. I don't know if that was the point. I don't know if this was supposed to be on purpose, but I was just like, it was just something about this scene that I was like, hey, did anyone see this? Am I overreacting? The answer is probably no.
Why you got these little black girls in here doing crimes on your behalf, bitch? Like, I don't like that, but yeah.
Who wrote this?
Real Dusty. I'm like, damn. And the little girls, they don't even get no lines for it.
I ain't like that.
And it was real cute and precious. Why are you doing this?
I don't know.
And you know,
can't get your money, girl.
And Simon is trying to get money because he's supporting his family. That motherfucker always at work. He was like, because that's why he still got the old, you know, shirts on for days at a time. I'm like, okay, bro, you might need to carry some shirts.
Girl, they're really trying to get the fuck up out of Shady Side.
They're trying to work and get the fuck.
Unfortunately, there are larger powers at B that are really, truly like, it's like a urban legend type situation. And that's how it's presented to you as the viewer and as everyone else in the town. But these people slowly start to discover as this story progresses that no, the urban legend is really real. Like, Sarah Fear, this bitch is real. And she really got everybody cursed up in this thing. It's crazy.
It's wild as hell. So, at this point, they about to go to this little vigil. You know, the girls and dad at school. They about to meet up with Sam. And this is another thing that I liked and didn't like at the same damn time. They go to school. She was in the band. She was in the band or whatever. So they go over here. They meet in both schools are next to each other, pretty much. Standing next to each other, listening to If There Was My Kids or something. And I'm like, this shit seems real fucked up, like real weird.
Yeah.
You know?
It's always one weirdo at the group.
You know how people are giving... Oh, this wig is bad. You know how people... both wigs are bad. You know how people are, like, giving a speech in honor of like people of some tragedy that happened, but you can tell they don't give a fuck.
That's
how I felt. You could tell they didn't give a fuck, and the Sunnyvillers also don't give a fuck because their attitude, like, somebody just fucking died. They was like, it's not a tragedy, it happens all the time. And then you find out that Sam is a girl, and I'm like, okay, so I didn't want the oh, it's a girl moment. I would have preferred that they just off rip that bitch name is Teresa. Like, we know it's an off-rip. They are gay. We treat it like nothing. Like, why are we treating it like it's a reveal? That's annoying. But I like that it was a gay couple. That was nice.
I feel you.
Just let's say it with your chest, okay?
It was a really, you know, but they had a real tumultuous relationship. I hated that.
Oh,
I was just like, girl, what's the girl, Dina?
Dina?
I was like, girl,
aggressive, and Dina is
Sam.
Not...
You need to break up with her. Moving to Sunnydale was the best fucking thing you ever did in your life
because she is ruining your life. Your mother is right, not because she, your mother's a little homophobic, because she is, because
she definitely is, definitely, and that's very fucking smelly on her behalf.
Yeah,
but
she also Dina
because
is
this
not
young girl,
a good influence.
She
got you doing anything, bitch. And this is a lie.
Send help.
And she yelling at you, cussing at you, pulling up on you.
That's not love, girl.
She don't know no boundaries, bro. Mm-mm. I don't like that shit at all.
Y'all need some help to talk this through and talk it out. Maybe in a couple years, you know, after y'all had a chance to grow, if, you know, maybe, you know, you were able to talk through it. But also, I don't know.
Yes. Also, I wonder where the fuck are the adults? Because them kids start fighting and squaring up. I'm like.
There were a lot of times where no adults were ever available.
I'm
where
like,
were Dina's parents?
Was this how it was in the 90s? Like, we're just.
When I think about it, the answer might be yes.
Fuck.
You know?
Because I'm like, kids. Now, at the school, there will be fucking employees spread out through them kids. Like,
hey,
hawks.
Man, the 90s were a really wild time.
Yes.
And I was a youth them, and I know you were younger than me, and I know that there are people that are probably listening to this who are older than us, and I'm just like, I don't know.
It was a wild fucking West. Because I'm like, you could easily skip class back then. Also, the cameras.
I mean, the technology.
The schools didn't have cameras.
Now.
There's a camera in all the halls. Bitch, we can see you on the camera, baby.
I saw that you didn't clock in today at class.
I saw that. Hello.
Ooh, shit, you ain't getting past nobody. These kids is crafty, though, so I don't really know.
They are crafty, but not that crafty.
Well.
But they go ahead, they get to fight, and they get on the bus. They punching bitches. Like, bro.
Oh, wow.
I saw the bitch get punched. I was like, did I do it? Jesus Christ. Y'all are wild.
Send help, please.
I am calling the cops.
You got to start, like, pressing the 911, like,
guard. I'm calling.
The Jekyll Cito button. Something.
I just, whatever, can we, is there, like, a fire lever we can pull or
something?
Some kind of.
It has to be something.
Something.
An escape rope, perhaps. Something. You gotta get
smoke
out of here.
Bomb.
You gotta get out of here.
Get the fuck. But they're on the bus like, fuck, Shady Side. I'm like, who's driving the bus? I want to know, first of all.
Where's the adults?
Who's driving the bus?
I found myself saying that a lot throughout this movie. Like, where are the adults? I mean, they show up every once in a while because, you know, most of the adults are the people doing the shaky ass shit. But where are the adults?
They are invisible. They are ghosts.
Okay.
They are ghouls. They are...
Sarate.
Something. Because I'm like, they're driving this bus, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're on... First of all, they on the bus. I know that athletes and stuff, you'd be cheering and, you know, doing all the stuff on the bus. But they're like, we're gonna fucking kill them! I'm like, hey, whoa. Shouldn't somebody be on the alarm here? Y'all are threatening. This is bodily harm. And then the kids pull up behind them, the Sunnyvalers. Now, this is the problem I have. Bus driver man. Hey, bus driver man. You can see them lights. You've seen that car swerving in your jacket.
It's a bus.
Guess who would have pulled over?
It's a driver shortage. He don't get paid enough to be dealing with the shit.
He is actually asleep and is driving with his kneecaps and his dreams. That's what's happening. Because...
It's over.
I'm just like, bro, I would have pulled... As if I were a bus driver, I would have pulled over because you're going to hit the back of this bus and you are going to have to pay for it. That's what's going to happen.
You know.
And this bus is bigger than your car. Your car is going to be totaled, friend. And the kids are sitting higher up than you. So you're going to crash right to the back of this bus, and they're going to be looking down at you, and you're going to be looking at up at them, and y'all going to be staring at each other like the fucking Diddy gift.
Yep, that's
because you
really
should be behind this bus driving like this all erratic and shit. Sam is in there with her fucking boyfriend and whoever in the back. And this is another problem I had, because I know it's young people, but y'all are too quick. In this movie, to pull up when people are about to do something really fucked up and bad, you're like, all right, well, I don't think this is a good idea as you help them do this fucking terrible thing. Girl, what? I don't have no sympathy for you. He didn't force your ass in that car. Maybe he was taking you home or something, and then he decided, ooh, I'm gonna go here or something. Now, you can't really take the wheel out of his hand or whatever, because, I mean, then y'all all gonna crash.
Right.
But also... I feel like he might have said, because the way he was treating y'all,
wait,
like, I'm going to crush y'all.
I don't know if we did a spoiler alert. Oh, no, guys. I'm so sorry.
Real quiet. Like, you know, the kids who got in trouble. Like,
oh,
God,
no. We finna spoil everything. I'm so sorry. Okay.
Damn. Well, I feel like at this point, They would have got 5 minutes in, but like, I think they you meant bitches. To say.
So sorry.
Whoops.
Anyways, they started playing chicken on the highway, and somebody got ran off the highway, and the car just—it was just, yeah.
Somebody threw something at the car. That's why.
But well, that fucking cooler.
Yes, and then the car crashed in the forest over Seraphir Grave, pretty much. They bleeding all over here. Shit, people seeing visions. Sam seeing visions and shit. It's crazy in here, you know. But once you bleed on it or whatever like that,
it's
go
time.
Yeah, you trigger. Even if something just happened, you trigger something else to happen. So, at this point, the killer has not got up and started beating people's ass yet. The cops come. They was like, and they don't tell. Everybody's like, what were you talking about? Who did that? Who did what cooler? What are you talking about? I don't know.
I did like how they all, like, together. both kids from both towns, so the Shadysiders and the Sunnyvillers, band together and kept the same story that when they were cooperating with the police, basically not telling them anything. I did like that moment of unification. I mean, yes. Because who was
they were both wrong.
Officer Good? Yes. Was the officer that pulled up, and you know, he's got a rectangular kind of face, and he's out here and he's a police and fuck 12.
Yeah, and they didn't tell him, so he's like, oh,
also, he's related to the mayor of Sunnyvale.
Mm-hmm. It's his brother, I think.
Yep, Will Good.
Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. he's like, I gotta do whatever, man. He's like, all right, I gotta eject Osito out of here because I don't really have any evidence of anything. Everybody's saying it's okay, it was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
So
they all fucking disheveled his hair and told us, y'all, we was good, nothing bad happened.
What do you mean?
Somebody just got hurt, and you know, we just, you know, we were being good Samaritans and we were helping out.
Yes, and so at this point, he was hugging her, talking about some bitch, I'm gonna kill you. I'm like, what is wrong? Why are y'all crazy. Threatening death all the time?
I was really saying send help a lot the entire movie, and not just because of, you know, people starting getting murdered on a mass level, but because, like, the kids were really violent towards one another, and I was like, damn, baby, is it that deep? Like, that really is what's going on in some of these towns? Like, is this really, like, who inspired this?
Yeah, now, granted, all the good shit happens to the Sunnyvale people, and all the bad shit happens to the Shadyside people. So the Sunnyvale people are like, they're wealthy, they're looking down to y'all poor, y'all on drugs, y'all are doing these things, y'all are always ruining things.
Yeah.
And then the Shadyside is like, y'all are up to some shit, and it's y'all are doing this shit. Y'all have cursed us. We are cursed. This is not, no matter what you do, you get fucked up. Now, I wonder if anybody just tried putting their shoes on, putting a backpack on, and walking smack out of town. Because let me tell you something. If I had experienced so much, I would have left the house just like, I have to start over in a new town, bro.
Just gotta, you know, hitch a ride on the back of a caboose of a train and just slide on over to the next couple towns.
Yes.
And see, like, what happens.
Or is
it like a force field and you can never leave? Or if you leave, some bad shit always happens to you regardless.
Or it's you that's cursed. You steal bad stuff.
Damn, that's crazy. And that fucking sucks.
Because I'm like, damn, that's really fucked up. Mm. But at this point, you know, Sam is in the hospital. Sam is, you know, kind of hurt. And they all at home, like, fuck those guys. And then one of those guys, to them, comes up with the skull mask on. Pretty much, like, mocking, because that just happened.
Mm-hmm.
So they're, like, in the one of them comes in the house, coming somebody out, they're taking shirts, smelling laundry and
violating.
Shit,
violating.
Real fucking weird. And they're like, we're going to whoop his ass. I know it was him. And I'm like, you did not know it was him.
Your recall voice is killing me.
But also what's pissing me off is, like, you didn't know it was him. Because, yeah, he said he going to beat your ass. But all the Sunnyvalers were, like, everyone in the car was like,
yeah,
girl,
everyone.
Ass.
I mean, they all were very much given that same type of energy. So
yeah, it could have been any Sunnyvale would have marked y'all. Y'all just got to fighting with them. The whole school. Your school versus my school.
Every damn
you
week.
And yours versus me and mine.
Okay.
Out on the football field. We talking teams? And the Sunnyvale's over gonna be like, are we talking teams? Because, bitch. And they're gonna be like, now look at us.
Shady
Sides and look
also
at you.
Like, are we talking teams?
Yes.
Yeah, but they seem like the type that be bringing guns to the fight. Like, they was like, oh, we about to wreck. And I was like, hold on now. How did we get here?
Sunnyvale's would bring the guns.
Yeah.
And the Shady Sides come like, oh, we about to throw hands, and they would cheat. And they should have been shown to cheat and do fucked up things anyway.
Oh,
they be cheating.
Oh, yeah, I see the vision.
I hate them. Scammers, liars, messy bitches that live for drama. They're in the hospital, you know, Dina pull up with all her squad, like, bitch, what the fuck? Why get your fucking whack ass boyfriend?
Oh my gosh.
Get that his shit.
Yeah, the way she pulled up real disrespectful, like, in the hospital bedroom.
Girl.
I was just like, ma'am,
I am hurt.
Quiet hour started at 7.
I am literally please injured in sideways because of you.
I am injured, and you're in here using your outdoor voice inside. We're in a hospital.
And I'm injured.
Ma'am.
Because of you.
Bring it down.
You did this. Now, was it an accident? Yes. But can you just leave me alone?
But no, she can't. Because she loves her so, so much.
This is toxic. This is obsession. It's so a sickness. So she goes up here, and the boyfriend's like, I didn't do none of that shit. I don't know what the fuck you talk about, bitch.
Yeah,
right. I don't know. It's stabbed. Boyfriend gets stabbed. So now, at this point, everybody's like, oh, no. Let's get the fuck out of here. Man, the killer is stabbing. He would have killed, like, 3 people who fucking worked there.
It was a fucking massacre.
Let me tell you.
I love the way the entire scene looked when they came out, and it just looked like, oh, just, it was a shit show. Yeah. I didn't know that Netflix was going to go there. Shout out to those guys.
Yeah, and they took it there, and I really enjoyed it. So at this point, you know, they like get in the truck. They trying to talk to the police. The police not listening to them.
As for you.
Because get the killer is who? Ryan Torres, the motherfucker who just got fucking shot.
And you know what? To be fair, I definitely would understand why you'd be like, you know, you have to be pulling a prank on me because he just died. Like, I saw him. He was on the TV the other night. He was up on the news. I saw the corpse myself.
Literally.
But also, that's a reoccurring theme in these stories that Officer Good, and we learned in his past, he's done this before. He either is, a part of him is oblivious. Mm-hmm. And well, in the beginning, a part of him was oblivious to what's going on. But like we always said, spoiler alert, because we're going to talk about all 3 of these movies. Mm-hmm. You eventually find out that he's not as oblivious to this bullshit as you think he is. Mm-mm. As time goes on. In the beginning, yes, he may have not been aware of, you know, okay, that the supernatural shit is right until he was proven wrong. And he was like, okay, so not only do I know this exists, but now I'm eventually going to learn why this shit exists. Mm. Ooh, girl, the drama.
Listen, so everybody getting died, okay? And not only is everybody getting died, you done triggered, because they triggered this thing, it's not just one killer out here.
Okay, you've got Ruby Lane. Mm-hmm. You have the Nightwing killer at the camp, like Camp Nightwing. Mm-hmm. You've got the Milkman. You have, what is it, the Shame killer. You have the pastor. And is it like Billy Barker? Is that another person?
The pastor is like Pastor Cyrus,
yeah, I believe. The pastor.
Yeah.
Pastor Cyrus.
It's a little boy that might be Billy, the little boy. But the ones that are chasing them is Ruby Lane, the Camp Nightwing killer, and someone else. I forgot. It was like 3.
Is it the Milkman?
Oh, it's Ryan Torres, the one who just happened. Those 3
are the Milkman eventually shows up, though.
Yeah, because they do something else again. Mm-hmm. But at this point, these 3 are on that ass. They're like, bitch, I'm in this hoe. But they're chasing pretty much only Samantha or anybody, Samantha's blood particularly. Mm-hmm. So they're running around trying to avoid everybody, and they try to come up with a plan. Now, before we talk about this plan, okay, we go take a little break, commercial break. Hey, freestyle. Okay.
No. Freestyle and pause. Available now from Dread, Val. Finn, a wanted criminal, hides out with an escort named Val, a demon. Val offers to make his problems disappear if he follows her rules. She has been expecting him all along, and it won't be easy to escape Val's dungeon. Val is out now everywhere you buy or rent movies and on Blu-ray November 2nd.
And we're back. Okay. All right. I did not really freestyle. I just want everyone to know. it wasn't me. So they're evading all these killers at the outside of the hospital. They're trying to protect themselves. Dina just stole a gun. Like, this, like, Dina's out of control. Mm-hmm. Although that gun did save Simon at a point, because Ruby Lane was about to slice him the fuck.
Slice you, dice you.
Oh, my God. So, at this point, they end up at the school. They're like, look, we gotta make a plan. They're chasing our friend. They really running right past us for real. Mm-hmm. Because they thought they just had to fix the bones because they disturbed the grave. No, baby. That's not it. It's over for you now. Yeah, it's above
not,
you now.
You're definitely not it's above you now.
It is. And they decide, okay, well, we're going to just, you know, trace the blood all the way around and, you know, get it into, like, them into one spot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then we're going to blow them up. So they're like, who? So they get the blood. Because at first, they was like, they going to keep chasing us. Look, Sam, you just going to have to die, baby. Because, yep. And that would have been me. Let me tell you. It's Sam would have been died. Sam would have died. That would have been the next tragedy. That would have been it. We would have moved on with our lives. Luckily, Sam has better friends. Or, like, listen.
Well, at least you're being honest.
Listen. Or even my friends. I don't think y'all gonna be like, yeah, let's trap these monsters and blow them up. Girl, I wouldn't even let y'all did all that.
No.
I would have been like, y'all, I'm gonna go outside, piece up A-Town down, meet you at the crossroads.
I think we would eventually would have maybe tried to figure out, like, if it was feasible, we could possibly, like, something that was feasible to solve weapons. The problem. Because this murder. Was some next level shit. I would have just took that L, to be quite honest.
Me too. That's why I'm like, yeah, y'all not even about to fight no supernatural monsters. I don't have time.
This is out of my realm, baby. Like, this is not what I normally subscribe to, but it's okay for me to watch it, though. It's a good time. I'm very much entertained.
It's above my pay grade.
It surely is. And you know what? But they're subscribing to this shit full time, and they are really actively trying to solve the situation with Sarah Fear because they are tired of being haunted by this bitch every day. She's got her foot on the fucking town's neck every goddamn century, and they're over it. So, you know, who's the killer?
The three killers?
Yeah.
Ruby Lane, Ryan Torres, and then you got the Camp Nightwing killer, I also believe.
Well, these people are pulling up. They're beating everybody's ass. We eventually come across this scene in the grocery store with the most gnarly fucking kill of baby girl Kate going through the fucking bread, chopping it. I was satisfied when they chopped her fucking head up like linguine machine.
Yo.
I was just like, wow, there's like fucking brain matter everywhere. That's disgusting. Crazy. Kudos.
Yeah, that was a good time. Kudos. And at this point, when they're there, their plan is like, oh, we gonna kill her and bring her back to life, like the Final Destination shit. But that Final Destination 2 shit. But also, that hadn't happened yet because it's the 90s.
Yeah.
But
and they get this idea. Is it after they find out like about C. Berman?
Did that part come yet? No, that's afterwards. What they're like, oh, if we kill her, then she'll come back, and then we won't have to worry about it. That was the first idea, but once that happened, it was like, no, there's somebody who survived. And I don't know if they asked her or not. I'm not sure. All I know is
they eventually find out that she died and came back, too.
Ah, you're right.
Yeah. And so they have said, like, oh, we drowned the girl newspaper. Sam. Because, of course, Sam, it might be that, too. Because Sam, you know, they have a whole research period. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to go ahead and take a research exposition break. You know, it was real just to fill the space in. And it wasn't bad. Like I said, I was very much entertained by it. But, you know, they try because Sam is, of course, becoming slowly possessed by all the bullshit. And they just want the demons to stop. But she's like, you know, I'm just so tired. So they drown her and she dies. And the killers don't stop coming. And not only that, Sam is now possessed. They keep calling C. Berman. Eventually, she answers the phone, or they answer the phone.
Okay, so this is what happens. She calls him back and leaves a message. Like, don't do nothing. Don't chase them. These motherfuckers, which is another choice, they pull up at her house, knocking on the door, trying to get in, using the motherfucking flashlights, flashing the flashlight all in her motherfucking house and shit. Mm-hmm. Then they climb through her window. I was like, now listen. Y'all are doing a lot. Also, for the girl to go back to life, they decided we're going to do the drug overdose thing, and I just thought that was a bad idea.
EpiPens? Yeah. I was like, I didn't know that doesn't work like that. Like,
I don't really know, but also, what if it doesn't work?
That was a waste of EpiPens. But, you know, I guess...
Never mind.
Lift every voice and sing.
They crawl through the window. They got her in here, and she's definitely possessed and turned up.
Love that.
Don't like the boundaries of, I don't want to help you. You can't stop it. I love her. And I'm like, girl.
She needs help.
She's cursed, baby. She is cursed.
You gotta let her go, honey.
It's nothing you can really do about this at this point. But we get the story pretty much of C. Berman. Going all the way back on, here's the story of blobby who.
This is how the shit really went down. I said, oh, okay.
I bet you're wondering how I got here.
Uh-oh, freeze frame. Now, we do find out in the first movie there's about 7 victims total in the mall massacre. Of course, they tried to flip it and reverse it. Officer Good tried to flip it and reverse it and made it seem like, you know, of course, Mr. Torres then went crazy, came back, the other kids then went crazy. They were, you know, they were selling drugs, so they started dabbling in the drugs. You know, you had to flip the story. Basically, what, you know, Dina didn't want for her friends, that's essentially how her friends were portrayed on the news, because know they have to find a way to spin this story to make shit make sense. And, of course, we slide her to Fear Street Part 2, because after, you know, Miss Berman is up here telling her business and trying to tell the kids what's really going on the tea about everything, now that these kids have barged their way into her home.
Yes.
They definitely did not call to make an appointment, so
they came in through the fucking window. I am still mad.
You know, that's a line from one of my favorite Beatles songs, but also at the same time, just like, girl, she was way nicer about this. But we slide right into Fear Street Part 2. And that one takes place in 1978, but not immediately. So you have a flip-flop, a back and forth between, they're in 1994, and C. Berman is telling, you know, the story of what happened with, what's his name? With the hatchet.
Oh.
Tommy Slater. Yep. And how Tommy Slater and that whole situation at Camp Nightwing, and she was one of the people at Camp Nightwing, and basically like, girl, I had to die, and I came back to life. And we kind of get a little background story as to, you know, this is a much bigger thing that really spans past what our characters thought was the problem, and they're getting a little bit more detail in that, and I did like that.
Yeah.
I like that we are time jumping, and it made sense to me. I know someone's like, oh no, they did this thing. You know, I get it. We're not all going to be happy.
I like a time jump, though.
But, you know, but it didn't shit the bed to me, because sometimes time jumps are really fucking confusing. And this was like, well, let me tell you about a time this happened, but this is also very relevant to what you guys are trying to figure out right now. You basically reveal at the end of the, you know, after C. Berman tells what happened in the back, what Hertz experienced, we essentially find out that they, us present day, Dina and them, have discovered the body. Mm. And C. Berman and her sister and discovered the hand. So they found the other part of the puzzle that gets to the bigger story dealing with Sarah Fear, which is super exciting. I definitely like how this was presented.
Yeah. So it's like each person has like a bit of information, they put it together.
Yeah.
Instead of them looking at microfiche in the library.
Yeah.
So that's really nice.
I really want to hear what people like in detail didn't like about this. Like, it was it how it was presented? Because once you get over the fact that the audience is essentially like teen and young adults, right? Like, once we move past this, what else did you not like? Because I was entertained. Like, if we didn't like the music and it was on the nose, all right, I give you that too. But it was, you know, what else did you not like? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was definitely a fun time. The characters. After the characters and it being the made for the young people, mainly because of the characters. That was it. Otherwise, the quills are fun. I'm having a decent time. I also feel like bullies from the 70s. What is wrong with y'all?
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Y'all are doing the most. Now, before we even get into the bullies, I want to zoom in on how Z. Berman is eating a microwave macaroni and cheese dinner and Jim Beam for dinner.
Every time an alarm goes off, girl, the PTSD this woman is going through is real. Like, I...
Keep her lifted.
Truly, because she has a lot going on. Like, a lot of distrust, a lot of trauma. A whole lot of trauma.
So much,
like,
trauma.
Holy shit. And basically, we're thrusted into this camp situation, and we're following the story of Ziggy. And Ziggy's at this camp, and of course, you know, some
she
of the camp
trouble.
Is... Yeah, girl, and half is like Sunnysiders, the other half is Shadysiders, and Sunnyvale,
Shadyside.
You know them things, them people. And, you know, she may or may not be as mischievous as people may perceive her to be, but this one group of people, they were like fucking like bullies to the extreme. Tied her up, basically accused her for stealing money, and tried to burn her. And one of the camp counselors eventually found her. They were getting ready to kick her out, but also a young officer Good, what's his name in here?
Nick Good
was like, hey, you know, if we kick her out right now, like, somebody's gonna be asking questions about where these burn marks come from, because these girls is like, you know, being real disgusting, like torturing her. And I'm like, girl, this is not safe. Send help. And so we're dealing with that, and then Nick Good's like, oh, he's kind of into her, and I'm like, question mark, what's going on here? And then, you know, you're seeing how the different counselors, the camp counselors, it's very much like a Friday the 13th film, or any kind of horror film, where, you know, the kids go to camp, and you know some old bullshit about to pop off, and some old bullshit does pop off. Like, we find Ruby Lane's mom, Nurse Lane. She's the nurse at the camp.
Yes.
And she's kind of cool with Ziggy. She's trying to attend to Ziggy's wounds. And, you know, but she doesn't really seem like her normal self. She seems kind of out of it. She's got, like, the witch's kind of manuscript on the table. She's trying to get the tea. But also, like, she's really going through it because she is the mom of Ruby Lane. And Ruby Lane's backstory is basically she killed all her friends at a party while humming a song before she killed herself. And all of a sudden, they try to make it seem like, oh, there was something going on with her. Like, she just snapped. And her mom was like, well, that wasn't her personality at all. So, of course, she's also curious and trying to find more information to not only, like, prove her daughter's innocence. I mean, of course, but that means people have to believe the then perceived urban legend of Sarah Fear. So, like, you know, like, it's this thing the town talks about, but you're really, like, are you about to blame, like, for real, the town's misfortune on there? Like, it's one thing to know it, but also people have to accept that there's more out there than just what's on paper as black and white, if that makes sense. Which, of course, they're not doing. So, you know, they're talking cash shit about Nurse Lane because, you know, her daughter is essentially now a mass murderer and in this small town. And she's dealing with that. And she's banding Ziggy up. And it's not going well for her. And later after that, we're introduced to Ziggy's sister. Her name is Christina. Christina is Ziggy. Cindy.
Yeah, Cindy.
And Cindy is, like, trying to be, like, you know, really just, like, a perfect kind of person. Perfect with air quotes. She's really trying to keep her nose clean. She has, like, her boyfriend, Tommy Slater. And he's just, like, a simple guy who just likes to hang out and do football stuff and just be cool and with a swoosh bang and all kinds of other fun shit. And they're trying to keep it cute while she's, like, scrubbing this red moss off the thing. And, you know, she eventually finds out that Ziggy was getting into some other stuff, but Tommy and the nurse end up in their own, like, by themselves. And after, like, you know, the nurse tries to kill Tommy and she's like, one way or the other, you're gonna die tonight. I wrote that shit down. She's like, I saw your name, one way or the other, you're gonna die tonight. Nurse Lane and Tommy Slater. And then, you know, later they tried to blame it, like, say that the nurse was on drugs, and the girl was like, drugs are peaceful, not violent.
Oh, my God.
I was like, all right, girl. But I really felt for her because once I rewatched this, I kind of peeped, like, I didn't catch it the first time, but she saw his name on the wall. So Nurse Lane either saw, like, through a vision, his name on the wall, or she was down in the fucking catacombs herself and saw, like, his name.
She was down there because that's how she got that diary and them books and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she was digging in the jank, probably, like, marking it like a map. And she went, I feel like she, not only did she see her name, she saw her daughter's name and everybody's name and was like, it was a witch. It was a witch.
Girl, it's not even like it was 2020 something and you could just, like, take a picture and be like, look at y'all, bitch. I was down here on Instagram Live. This is me. I'm down here. I'm not making this up. This is the 70s, and she probably ain't had no fucking camera, and then you got to go get the film developed, and by the time the film get developed, everybody already did.
It's gone. You know. Somebody gonna take it away.
This is my bullshit. Like,
well, nobody's still gonna believe. They're gonna be like, it's just rocks.
You know, you already ostracized at the store anyways because your child had murdered everybody. It just, you know, you're really going through it, Nurse Lane.
Yeah, so everybody's like, she's just crazy like her daughter, and I'm like, that's fucking rude. It's gross. But really smelly behavior. Now there's no nurse. But also, Tommy Slater is going.
He's looking bad, girl. He's looking mighty down, mighty low.
And all of a sudden, like, they're getting ready for the color wars, which I already don't like. And they're, like, Sunnyvalers are not only cheaters.
They're really gross.
But they are, like, shut up. Don't get to talk. I'm like, what is wrong with y'all?
They're just really, like, filthy mouths. Like, it wasn't even fun. It was a lot of poor sportsmanship. They were very gross behavior. Unwanted behaviors. It was just really,
I'm like, bruh,
this game does not seem fun.
I hope Tommy come for you next.
See, like, bullies.
Come on, Tommy.
So Tommy and Tommy's looking kind of shaky, and Cindy and then they pull up on her homegirl. What's her old homegirl name?
Alice, who keeps calling her a snitch. Now let me tell you something. Now granted, I don't snitch on my friends or nothing, but she mentioned that it happened when they were 12. Girl, I feel like she has to be like 16, 17 at this point. And
well, the way we're introducing, girl, she fucking on the table. I said, girl, what is going on
in
here?
You fucking in here? I know that cabin stink. Jasmine. They are out camping.
I know. And summer. I was like, this is just, all right. Well, You've just basically played it up. You got the one friend who's trying to be perceived as the good friend, and the other one's like the wild, like, woo, she probably is a fire sign, doing all kinds of fun shit, and, you know, taking all kinds of advanced drugs with her and her boyfriend. They're having the time of their lives, yeah. And they all go down, and they decide, fuck it, we about to get on this thing, and we're going to continue what Nurse Lane was doing, and we're going to research this Sarah Fear shit, because we love a spooky good time. And boy, oh boy, they sure do get what the fuck they asked for, because not only do they stumble upon some really important information, which further alongs our story, mm-hmm. that there are catacombs and old, like, tunnels and shit that exist underneath the campsite, because the campsite really was built on what used to be the original satellite Union. Mm-hmm. Exactly, and was both towns together, and that is what Nurse Lane was kind of discovering. So she was trying to cross-reference the new map with the old map, because she's trying to put this Seraphir shit together so she could really just, you know, clear the name of her daughter. Mm-hmm. Love this story. But once you're down there, you're not only running across some old bullshit. My man is not looking good. Tommy morphs into, he's now an axe killer. And we're getting some, like, Friday the 13th vibes eventually, because he gets a sack on his head. He's out here chopping kids up. They do show some kids dying, not necessarily, more so the camp counselors dying, getting chopped up in the side of the mm-hmm. face. You see, like, kids' body parts, like, flying and gushes. And they did not let up on the blood or the gore on this movie. And I really like that a lot.
Yes.
I love that. Yeah. This was a camp slasher. It turned up really quickly. The poor kids at the camp, a lot of them did get away. They mm-hmm. managed to concoct a plan with Nick Good, and he was like, you know, let's get the kids on the bus. Somebody ring the bell, and that means we all get on the bus, and they leave, and all kinds of stuff. Of course, a couple people left behind, but holy fucking shit, it turned up.
I enjoyed it.
It did.
Now, once it turned up, you learn about backstory about Alice and them. Mm-hmm. You know, they become friends again. But also, you know, she also bleeds on the Hennessy shit. But, you know, she'll make it, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. What we really get to is both sisters, they find each other. And they are trying to get away. But, of course, I believe that Ziggy bled on the hand when she grabbed it. In yeah. the gym. So they're definitely trying to kill her.
Yeah.
But, and then because this happened and they triggered it, that's where we get a bunch of killers. I feel like more than one are coming around because
oh, yeah.
what happens is they both get killed at the same time. Both the sisters get killed. But then Nick Good brings Ziggy back to life. Yeah,
Cindy was trying to protect her sister. Aww. Really sad. Really sad. Because she was like, you know, Cindy was trying to be everything, the opposite of what was going on in her family, trying to create a new name and new life for herself. You know, she was trying to be a new bitch today. And Ziggy was very much like, girl, you could dress it up, make a real film all you want to, but at the same time, I can still look and see you for who you really are, and I'm yeah. about to drag you down. But
she also, dragged the shit out. Her sister was like, that's a whore.
Yeah, but she still cared about her sister, and she was like, you know, regardless, I'm still going to hold you down, and we've been through so much. And of course, you don't want your sister to die, but she tried to save her. And then they both got chopped up. And it didn't really work. And like Jazz said, Nick brought Ziggy back to life. Cindy didn't make it. And now Ziggy's standing here in front of the kids in 1994, present day for us, mm-hmm. the viewer, and telling them everything that's going on. Stan is still very much locked up in the bathroom. They're like, girl, bitch, you're Ziggy? Like, they can't believe it. And
she's Steve Bergman.
Right, and they're just like, no, you know, Nick Good, Officer Good, essentially, you figure out, is not very ironic. He's not good.
He's evil as a bitch.
It's some devil worship going on here. And, of course, you know, we're about to slide into Fear Street Part 3. So the last chapter of this trilogy takes place in 1666, and this movie is also long as a bitch. It's an hour and 54 fucking minutes. It kind of feels that way at times. Not even gonna hold you. Mm-hmm. Is this the longest out of the three?
I don't know. I know the second one is like an hour and 50 minutes.
Yes. Okay. This is the longest out of the three.
Well, they had to go back to olden times.
Okay, I understand.
With the pilgrims and shit.
And you know what? I appreciate this. We were able to get an origin story. All of the characters from movie one and movie two are now back playing fucking people in 1666, so in the 1600s, they're in colonies, they're mm-hmm. dressed up like, you know, people who would be dressed back in those times. They're just wearing, you know, maybe like a white tee, and mm-hmm. like maybe like, you know, a little vest over top of it, some shit, I don't really know, they yupping it up. We're able to see Dina. She's now morphed into the body of Seraphir, so she's getting like a first-hand perspective of what happened to Seraphir that led up to her reasoning for getting hanged or hanged, I think that's the word, and what caused the whole shaboop for real with the two towns, or more so Shadyside, because Sunnyvale is out here living the best life. And we find out some old shenanigans was happening back there. First of all, the townspeople, more so, what's my man's name? That was, because we really find out he was a good in the end. Solomon Good. Yeah. We basically find out that Solomon Good was out here shaking and baking and stuff. And he saw Seraphir, because she was out here, you know, slipped off at one night at their little party situation. Everybody was high off the berries. She slipped off to the side with the girl Hannah. Mm-hmm. And they started, you know, finger popping and getting sexy. Oh, and you know,
pussy licking, bitch.
Listen, it was a lot of coochie eating out there. And they were in the forest having a good old time. But, you know, somebody was watching.
It was Thomas.
And it was
Thomas.
It's Thomas.
Yeah, Thomas.
Well, who told him, Solomon?
What? This is what happened. Thomas was running his motherfucking mouth, first of all. He was mad. Let's start there. Okay. So Thomas is like, this happened and this happened. So Thomas is running his mouth. Meanwhile, you know, Thomas is also trying to holler at people, and they're like, ugh, we don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, he missed his teeth. Like, girl. He was looking real sweaty, y'all. I know they don't really wash themselves back then, but he was just really, the grime was still on the eyebrows.
Yeah, I was not. It was crazy. I wasn't a fan. So it was
very shaky.
Yes. So after that point, you know, they got their goods, they got the stuff going on, and mm-hmm. he realized shit is going left after that night they get caught. So while Matt Thomas has all this information about mm-hmm. who eating, who pissy, okay? We go moving over with Solomon Good, the motherfucking made a deal with the devil and sacrificed Pastor Cyrus to start wilding. So all this devil shit starts happening. Oh my gosh,
that scene was so wild. Bruh.
So first, like, the pigs is dying and shit. They give, you know, still warm pigs and all that, which is fucked up because they was mm-hmm. having, the pigs is cool. Just, it was all good just a week ago. And then, you know, the fruit is fucking rotting. The water is poisoned. You know, you gotta make things
shaky.
Yeah. Because
this is during the time, you guys, where they're like recusing people of being a witch. So when shit starts going shaky, now everyone's like, that guy's a witch. This person's a witch. Oh my gosh. Causing chaos and disruption and confusion. Exactly what Solomon Good wanted.
Yes. So the pastor gouges out everybody eyeballs. Wow. And the children in the church gouge out their mm-hmm. eyeballs. And now it's like, no, there's some witchcraft ahead.
Yeah.
And Thomas is helping pointing the hand at Hannah and Sarah. And meanwhile, they're getting caught up. You know,
all they doing is sexing. What's going on?
They are not doing no witchcraft shit. You know, everybody's turning on them. How dare you bring this filth in my house?
Mm.
Like, cranking up on them. Like, so everybody's pointing at them and trying. They want blood at this point.
Yeah.
So as they're trying to get blood, I think Sarah's running away and goes through the tunnels and discovers the tunnels. Mm-hmm. Then she hears, like, Solomon saying, blah, blah, who, blah, this happened, this happened. And they get into a motherfucking altercation, okay? They are.
It was one of those like, no, not you, because this whole time Sarah and Solomon, like, you know, the towns people thought they tried to, you know, be funny, like, oh, like maybe they might get married off to each mm-hmm. other, whatever. But they seem pretty cool. But then when she get down there and find out that not only is he out here making a pact with the devil, he's also putting a curse on her name and all these other people around her. He is the reason for all this wild ass shit and why these people are coming to beat her ass, and he is not protecting her because he's trying to G it up with the devil. I'm tired.
Listen, and he was like, you could do this with me. It could be us. And she's like, bitch, no.
This is smelly.
I'm not getting down like that. And he was like, fuck it then, and start trying to stab her ass up. That's how she lose her hand. She didn't cut her own hand off.
Nope.
It was in that fucking fight. He tore that bitch off too. Ooh, bitch.
It was wild. It was wild and crazy kids.
Yeah, so, not wild and crazy kids. I used to love that fucking show.
Me too.
I always wanted to be on it. Also, so
I could have did the rest.
After they put two and two together, we know it's them. They about to hang them both. Both of them about to get punished. Mm. Fuck both of y'all. And then Sarah's like, no.
Take me.
It was, I bewitched her.
I did it. I turned her out. Is that it? And I was like, Lord, She's really trying to take one for the team. And this is given very much R-rated soap opera. And I'm living. I am alive. Wow.
Yeah. And she was like, and then she cursed Solomon. And and you know, when you die and you curse somebody, I told you, that is real important. Like, you have made a curse with that. I have cursed you. I'm coming back for you.
Fuck your family.
Your ancestors, your grandchildren. This is awesome. What's that bitch name from Dead Silence? Mary Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dead, but I'm cursing your whole bloodline, bitch.
Can't wait.
Listen, the whole bloodline.
I will see you again. I said, okay.
She was like, can't wait. They will know the truth, bitch. And, you know, eventually they find out, but not without this elaborate-ass fucking plan they gotta do.
Yep.
Because at this point, now Ziggy is literally the Mr. Crab filter mixed in with the dude who's like, oh, no. That guy. Like, it's the realization that, wow, the little boy I liked and kissed in the mouth, it's his fault my sister is dead. His family's fault. It's his fault that he did everything else. He's been the one fucking
and he had a choice to believe what she was saying and to support her, like he tried to allude that he was doing, or he could have went in the steps of his family, and he chose his family, and that demonology said, oh, gross. Fuck the good family.
Listen, fuck them. So now she's just like, oh, wow, we got to kill that motherfucker. Mm-hmm. We got to connect the hand to the body.
Yep.
And when they do that, of course, more blood.
Not more
all
blood.
These shady side killers pull. You see the milkman, motherfucker with the plague mask. All this. I feel like Cyrus the Pastor come back. All these motherfuckers come back. And at this point, they're like, yep, we're going to get all the killers back.
I would have pooped him myself.
Let me tell you.
Pooped him.
They're like, all right, we're going to get your blood. And this is how I realized they got so much blood. Because I was like, how did they get all this fucking blood? They're putting some of her blood in a mixture of water.
Yeah.
And then taking that blood water and spraying it on shit. Because that's the scent that the killers are following.
Yeah.
So they're like, we can spray them in a path, have them meet in the middle where the
Sam's chair. Blood, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if it was Sam or... I feel like it was Dina because Dina done blood on the new corpse now. Most recently, yeah. So they come in to get her.
So, you know, we didn't switch views so many times, listen, everybody.
Yeah, a lot happens in 66. She squirted the motherfucking blood. They squirted it around. And then they go get them in the room, trap them, right?
And they're back in the mall.
Yes. They're going to get them into the stores. You know how the stores got the gates. Mm-hmm. They're going to pull the gates down. Then they were going to pretty much spray Nick Good in there. And then they were going to let all the killers out and beat his ass. And it goes left and right.
Yep.
But... because they definitely start chasing the motherfucker. But then he grabs Ziggy and shit. It's a fight. We got to struggle. But, you know, eventually, Seraphia don't play with his ass.
Nope.
Because guess what? He gets got. Fuck him. Fuck everybody he loves. Fuck his whole bloodline. Yes,
I love this.
It's definitely a long struggle, though. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's a... and then he's spreading blood to other people. And, the killers are wild. But they're all loose. And now Shadyside curse is kind of lifted.
And you see it immediately. When they lift that curse, that's like, boom, some bullshit pops off in fucking Sunnyvale. Fuck immediately. I'm like, whoa, turn up time. And I love that for them. I love that Shadyside can get that pressure up off their neck. Maybe these people can make it out and try to have a better life. You know, some old bullshit maybe spread off to everybody else. You know, maybe Seraphia can really get that vengeance that she want to.
Or maybe they got at least like six to a decade of very good luck. Because I something, just feel as though, and then it goes to normal. Or something. No, they need a few decades. Because they have been getting their ass beat since 1666.
Something.
Get them a century, bro. Give them a full century of at good least luck for free.
For the minimum.
For free.
For free. Well, I mean, okay, so overall, like I said, I felt like I had a good time watching these three movies. Yeah. I know that it was a little bit lengthy at some points for me, but overall, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the rollout that Netflix had going on. I really enjoyed that, you know, that it came out like every other Friday or every Friday type situation. I thought that was really fucking fun.
Yeah. It was like every Friday or Saturday. They made us wait a week in between.
Well, you know,
every
weekends.
Week, everybody was talking about that shit. Yeah. Like, hello, we are here. Bring back the miniseries, bitch. Let's get the... Because, listen, it gives me it vibes. Like, I feel like Nick and Jake came out every week. Like, no, let's bring it back.
Yeah, and I think even if you didn't really enjoy the story, I definitely agree with you. Just the premise of having, like, maybe, like, a three-part story that rolls out. Something, like, you know, that really will hold the attention. Get the girls going. Get them geeked up. I definitely would like to see more of this. I thought that was really fun. I felt like the, you know, the hoopla around it was a bit immersive. Now, if it may not be, you know, your cup of tea, but it wasn't like it didn't shit the bed in terms of how it was presented in my mind. But, you know, hey, girl, hate is going to hate. You don't necessarily have to be a hater, but also everything is not for everyone. So yeah. I definitely understand that as well.
I understand why people would champion it.
Yep.
So I'm like, oh, okay. And I understand why people were like, oh, God. But I didn't hate it. And I don't feel like it didn't warrant hate. I feel like it was just like, oh, this is not my kind of movie. It was a pinch long. Like I said, but also they had a lot. There was a lot of story going on. So I kind of get it.
Well, you know, okay. So for ratings wise, like IMDb kept it pretty consistent across the board. Like you got a 6.2, 6.7, and 6.6. And then Rotten Tomato also kept it pretty consistent for its thoughts and views. It was like an 83% for movie one, 88% for movie two, and then 89% for movie three. I definitely gave this movie about 7.5, 8.
That's where I'm at, I'm in the seven.
So I'm leaning more towards like the Rotten Tomato thoughts versus the IMDb thoughts. I just really think that, you know, I didn't read the comments. I try to veer away from the comments, but I feel like they align with one of the things that we mentioned. Like maybe they, you know, forgot that they may or may not be the audience.
It was entertaining. That's why I'm giving it a 7. Even though it wasn't quite for me to watch again, for who it's for, I know they had a good time.
I hope so.
I know they had a great time.
If you're a member of the UDEM, hey girl, shout out to you. Let us know your thoughts because we really want to fucking know what's going on. Don't curse like I did, but we really want to know what's going on. You're probably cursing. We really want to know what's going on. We want to know your thoughts. And if you're older than that, we also like to know your thoughts because we have thoughts. We didn't necessarily dislike this film. I would like to see another type of Fear Street kind of insert, not necessarily like the Sarah Fear, but maybe some other kind of like spooky tale.
And they have a lot of books apparently. So right. I'm like, I could see that being a thing, especially as a, maybe it doesn't have to be a miniseries. It could just be a flat out movie, a flat out feature or something. Yeah. Or even a short or a series of takes on the different books and they're not really connected. Or maybe they happen in the same universe. I don't really know. But that wouldn't be a bad idea, especially for the young adults, the teens. They're gonna eat it up.
Yeah.
And just like they love Sabrina, I wasn't a fan.
I still need to finish the last season just for the sake of seeing a completed story.
You know, I wasn't me. Also, they had a death match that we have it playing on the background. We had 1666 playing on the background. I forgot, like I didn't write it down as a note, that there is a killer death match in there. Which is really wild.
Hey, man, I miss Celebrity Deathmatch, and that's all I'm going to say on that. But, you know, if your thoughts aligned with any of our thoughts, or maybe they differed, or maybe you really don't want to see anything else from this universe, or maybe you were as interested as we are in seeing something else from this universe, we want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah.
Maybe in, like, a professional email or whatever. Because you could totally email us at grltspod@gmail.com. Or if that doesn't work for you, you can also hit us up. Or if you just want to just, like, shoot the shit or just, you know, whatever. You can pull up on our Instagram and Twitter at GirlThatScary. And we interact with people and stuff there. And also, we have, like, a Patreon that has exclusive and bonus information and episodes and all kinds of other stuff. And that's at patreon.com/GirlThatScary.
Yeah. And, you know, rate us 5 stars, a 5-star chick.
You a 5-star chick.
Okay.
5-star chick. Y'all can't see my hands went into boxes.
I posted a picture of Trina with the hands up, right? And I realized she had that military style jacket. Remember when motherfuckers was looking like train conductors back in the 2000s? Yes,
it is me.
Train conductors.
A lost member of the motherfucking My Chemical Romance, as per usual.
I look like a ship captain.
With the black parade jackets.
Thank you, ship captain. Marching band.
Out here.
But you know what? Oh, the people were wearing marching band outfits.
I can't
hats.
Even sing the
pilot
best part.
Hats.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Oh, I miss
that.
It.
I'm that gift right there.
We also can't sing the best part of the song because that person is no longer with us.
Yeah. No, that's not.
Yuck. But yes, y'all, we truly appreciate all you guys for listening. If you like what you hear, rate us. You know, let us know your thoughts. We love feedback. So just, you know, pull up.
Yeah. And until next time, y'all.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dread Podcast Network.